Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. And again, recording an intro on a phone. Very unprofessional, Stephen. I know. But anyway, I'm back in Ireland. Delighted to be back. Been trying to take some downtime since I got back, but it's difficult. So I'm going to have to do, I realise I have to do something to get out of it. I'm going to have to get a bus to the mountains or something like that. I will be performing at the International Comedy Club tonight, which is Friday the 2nd of September. If you're around town, you want to say hello, I will be there. But other than that, there's no other news that I'm going to be telling you right now. A lot of questions about the tour, when I'll be touring out. That will be happening. Watch this space. As I said before, I'll be on tour with Des Bishop in September into early October. If you go to desbishop.net, you can find out the dates for that. We'll be in Drogheda, Galway, Cork, Thurles, if I remember correctly, and a few other places. So desbishop.net for further dates. I have a cheeky monkey who's trying to interrupt me doing this right now. Can I just finish recording this and I'll be down to you? Is that all right? Yeah? Thank you. Yeah, get out. Cheeky monkey had their first day of school yesterday. So, all very exciting in this house at the moment. So that is the news. I'm sure there's other things to tell you, but we've got a long episode ahead of us today. So that's why I just want to crack on and put it up for you. But now let me see. So today's episode is another conversation with a wonderful, wonderful comedian that I got to meet when I was over at the Edinburgh Fringe. And we shared the same room. We were both in Studio 4. Nikki Britton is an Australian comedian, and she is going to be in Soho Theatre all this weekend. So she did her first show in Soho Theatre last night on Thursday, the 1st of September, but she will be there tonight and tomorrow night as well. If you're in London, I cannot recommend her enough. I'm just reading off her agent's page. I'll probably piss her off now if I did this. But Nikki Britton has an electrifying stage presence, personable demeanour and lightning pace style that makes her one of Australia's most in-demand comedy talents, which is lucky because she did not finish uni. I didn't know that. Or maybe we did talk about it in this podcast. But anyway, Nikki and I had an absolute ball. We shared the same dressing room and I went to see her show that is called One Small Step. You should totally go check it out. It's a fantastic hour. It's she's brilliant. She's a fantastic performer, and I learned a lot watching her, and I learned a lot working with her. We chatted about comedy a lot over the last month. So, and we went to see some shows. We went to see Matt Ewins together and stuff like that. So it was great to hang out with Nikki. And as you will hear, she's a fantastic personality, and she's great crack. So the situation of recording this podcast was, I don't know why now in hindsight, but we only had one microphone to record this. So we were using her microphone, and it crackles, as you can hear. So there's three or four crackles in this podcast that might be irritating, but trust me, there's only one or two of them. And the conversation is amazing. So it's worth it. I hope you enjoy it. And what else? And a fantastic, really interesting conversation about clowning. Yes, something that I've been interested in for many years. But Nikki went to pretty much the ultimate clown school in Paris. We talk about her experience of that as well. So Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. This was recorded last week, late after both of our shows, one night. I think about a week ago. Yes, it was this day last week in Edinburgh. And give it up. If you're in Australia. Did I say Australia? I mean, if you're in London, go to Soho Theatre this weekend and check her out, her show, One Small Step. You can follow her on Instagram, at the Nikki Britton. I'll put the handle for that in the description to this podcast, so you can follow her. And that is it, really. Do you want to say anything? You can say, speak now or forever hold your peace. I'll say hello to people. Loads of them are listening.
Hi.
Cheeky monkey. Right. We got to get you ready for school, don't we? Yeah. This is the guys who listen to my podcast. Do you think Daddy was away too long when he was in Edinburgh? Okay. Just wiggling bum. You plank. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Nikki Britton. Let's do this. It's good to be back.
Welcome to the Leprechaun podcast here now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just enjoying the sound of my own voice now as a... sorry, Nikki, just come in here now.
I didn't know.
It's all right, mate. It's all right. I'm just switching between accents as we speak. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Britton is here on the show.
Hi.
It's fantastic. Hi.
So, I'm so excited. This is like a huge podcast, right?
This is
an enormous following.
All right, Sarky.
That's what I've been told. I've been told this is going to make me a superstar.
Let's be honest about it, right? It's a joy to have somebody to have another accent on. I just realised 2 weeks ago we had New York. Des Bishop was on doing Yo Bro.
Great.
What's going on?
Yep.
Let's be honest about it. Everybody here's up their own hole. You know, all that kind of vibe.
Sure.
And then now we've got Sydney, Australia on as well.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Have you ever been? So we do have listeners in Australia, but I'm suspicious that they're just Irish people in Australia.
No doubt.
You can turn that a little bit more towards you, because there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Nikki and I share the same changing room. I was going to say the same room, but we share the same changing room at the Edinburgh Fringe. And it's been a joy. It's been
an absolute joy.
Your jacket just lights up our dressing room.
Yeah, it is a multicolored tinsel jacket.
Actually, that's an actual thing. This is you know you went and you picked this out. This is an actual brand that have.
Yeah.
You know this was like, it's not just something that was bought in the pound shop. Somebody's put a lot of effort into the design of this, and you've gone and.
Yeah, it was made. It's actually got the name of the show. Inside the jacket.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So this was made specifically for you.
Custom made.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know that. How do you explain this jacket?
I would say that when I fail, the jacket's doing most of the heavy lifting. for the show to feel
There's
like show
crackles.
Business.
Oh shit. So let's explain the mic situation before we get back to the jacket.
Okay.
We're recording this on one mic.
Because, yeah, you forgot to bring your mic.
Oh, okay, thank you. I didn't even realise that I could have just brought a mic. I didn't have to bring the recording equipment. But anyway, that's my bad.
Oh, I see.
I could have just brought a mic and cable and plugged it in. Because you can take another one in there, can't you?
I don't think that's it's not a double ender. It's not a double ender.
So anyway, we're recording here on one microphone, but we both have to be very close to each other in order for it all to be picked up. Keep it closer to you because my voice is definitely deeper and it seems to be carrying that. There you go.
Okay, well, I don't have much. After a month in Edinburgh...
Mm.
Very little left. A voice, spirit, anything.
Have you done anything like this before? Because we're here at the Edinburgh Fringe. I've been speaking about it to everybody beforehand. I mean, we're now talking on the Friday of the last Friday of the whole run. I am fucking exhausted.
It's tipped into delirium.
Absolutely.
I feel like everyone's just, it's just, no one has words anymore.
No. I saw you at like 3 o'clock yesterday. You were drinking a frat frog. I was like, haven't you got a show later? Like, oh, I've given up.
I did.
You're like, oh, could you? I was also, were you not supposed to be in another show now? And you're like, yeah, fuck it. You literally were supposed to go to another show.
This
and then
the
go
thing.
Do the thing and you're like, fuck it. I'm just having a drink.
I leave the house in the morning. I book a show, like at midday or 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Maybe some incredibly cultured theatre. Something really great that I'll
inspiring.
Feel good about. Inspiring.
Yeah.
Filling up the creative cup. What a thrill. We haven't been able to do this for so long.
Yes.
And I go and see that show and I assume that I'll bump into someone that is seeing another show and I'll go with them to the next thing, or I'll be at the venue and there's something great on next. And that doesn't seem to happen. And then I find myself just wandering aimlessly in this medieval city with the wildest stones in the street, cobblestones.
Oh, cobblestones. You don't have them in Australia?
We don't have the, no, come on. We were
That's new enough, I suppose. Yeah,
it's,
By the time, by the time roads came to Australia, everyone was over the whole cobblestone thing.
Yeah, we were like, let's asphalt over this. We're not
as far
idiots.
As it, cobblestones are for horses, wasn't it? Isn't that like, I'm showing my ignorance here, but I'm pretty sure that's like, so that I think it's like if horse shit fell out from the horseshoe and all that kind of stuff, it kind of kept the hooves clean.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think I could be completely wrong. Google that, guys. I'm sure I'm going to get a text about that later on.
No doubt.
But you keep, honestly, keep a point to the whole thing. And
but
the cobbles
failing,
are bad for our hips.
Yeah, so you're just constantly walking on these cobblestones, exhausted, aimlessly. And I just gave up.
You gave up.
And I had a blue mojito.
It was a blue mojito, is that what it was?
And my show's at 7:30. And I just said, fine.
It was the sweetest.
I'm giving over.
It's the sweetest giving up I've ever seen, because you had a smile on your face. You're kind of staring at the sky, if I'm honest with you.
And I was lying in the gutter and smiling at the sky.
And you're walking around George's Square Gardens and you're like, yeah, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. Oh, so,
and you were flyering.
I was flyering.
I was helping.
Did help.
Talking it up.
Let's tell the audience what happened, because they already know. I told them on social media about what happened when I had 7 Glaswegian crazy bitches into my show.
Yeah.
And that was kind of down to Nikki.
Well, I don't take full responsibility. I thought I was doing the right thing.
Yeah. I think you were. Like, ultimately, I did want them to come to the show.
That's 7 more tickets you've sold.
They call themselves the 7 dwarves. Remember at the table, they're like, "Hey, we're the 7 dwarves."
But they were all dopey.
She's on fire. You haven't given up. You haven't given up. You're on fire. They were dopey because they were. I mean, you were having your fucking blue mojito, but they were already. They'd had a few blue mojitos.
Yeah, they were on the blueies. They were. They seemed so keen.
Mm.
Well, actually, they were on the fence when you flyered to them.
Yeah, you kind of pushed them over the line.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's just the best show. My God, I've seen it. Wow. I'm not being sarcastic.
Don't crackle the mic.
You always think I'm being sarcastic when I'm being genuine.
I know.
This could be why I lose friends. I'm actually very supportive, but people take it the wrong way. No, I was absolutely singing your praises.
Mm.
Turns out a bit, possibly just to the wrong people.
Yeah, I mean, I did want them in. And once I did get them on board, like the show yesterday just went a bit mad. And it kind of, we all had to get on board in it because there was more of them. so I had to get on board with it and all that, majority rules. But then today I had just like 2 mad bitches and they just annoyed the whole audience. So then it was just like, it was hard to, like, they got told by another audience member to shut the fuck up. So then I was like, okay, now it's tense.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I always treat everyone as though they've made the greatest choice of their life by talking through the show. And if I can be part of the conversation.
Oh, that's a good angle. Yeah, yeah.
Then like, I'm happy to. And like, let's just share it. Let's just like, because then at least you've got, you know, there's not that. There's not like us against them or like this divisive vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But sometimes it helps so much when an audience member just says, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the unfortunate thing was that was 3 minutes to the end of the show. So if you had said about it.
Real brave.
Yeah, yeah. 30 minutes previously, that would have really helped. But like at one stage, she was like, "Hey, that was hot in Mallorca." I was like,
that was what?
So I was talking about drunk people at one point. And I have a thing of like drunk people and parenting is the same thing, you know, looking after a drunk person.
Yes,
a kid,
I remember.
Blah, 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 right?
Great material.
Right.
But, beautiful stuff.
But yeah.
5 solid minutes.
Yeah, yeah. 5 solid minutes of
Does
that.
Does that sound sarky?
Of that. Yeah, really sarky.
No,
yeah, yeah, it sounds sarky.
Really?
You're looking at me in the eyes, you're saying, I'm like, she hates that routine.
I'm genuine. It was good.
Anyway. I'm doing that bit and I'm talking about the drunk person.
I can't
believe
you've invited me on the podcast when you must think I'm such an asshole.
I don't think you're an asshole. But listen, do you know when I'm doing the one-sided conversation of the drunk person, of the parenting there, right? You know,
yes.
Get up at the floor and all that stuff, right? Your one just kept going, that was hard in Mallorca. I was like,
that was hard in Mallorca.
So that's Scottish for that was her in Mallorca.
Her in Mallorca.
And I was like, great, yeah, thanks, yeah. And I couldn't go on with the one-sided conversation because she's fucking ruined it now.
Mm.
So then I had to, and then I kind of turned all the elements of the one-sided conversation onto her. I'm like, oh yeah, you're the like type of fucking idiot that will have to say, no, you'll walk to the car yourself, we're not carrying you there, and all that kind of blah blah blah.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I had to turn it brilliant. That way. But that was the only time that I took her on board, because then she thinks I'm hammering her, but what she doesn't know is I just changed the routine to fucking dump it all in her head. But anyway, we've had our experiences.
All the reports were that you dealt with it brilliantly.
They did yesterday. They seemed that they were happy enough that. But you had a mad one today.
Yeah, I quite like that though.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I do like it as well. But once you, maybe didn't. I wasn't in your mad show today. But the trick is for me, once you get everybody on board with whatever the madness is, that's fine.
Yeah,
I did not achieve that today. I had a lot of pissed off people and two drunk ones going, "That's great. He was on Love Island." But your mad one today was what happened.
There were six women who.
It's always women.
Although I had a... I'll tell you about yesterday after I tell you about this one. Because today was really fun.
Mm.
Six women, and they were all like, yeah, we're moms and we're out for the night.
Ooh.
Yeah, what?
No, sorry, that was great. Yeah, that was sarcasm.
Total sarcasm.
No, hey, mate, keep going.
But they were... And I can deal with this because all of my friends are married with kids.
Yeah.
Because all my friends are married with kids. I know the vibe. Two crisp white wines.
Right.
And we've lost our minds. They're letting off steam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're letting off steam.
I'm terrified. Yeah. I can't go out with half my friends anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you've experienced this in real life a few times.
Yeah, too many times.
Okay, I'm just clicking
it's
in.
It's like just mum's gone wild.
Yeah, this has happened to me in dating land.
Oh, yeah?
With single mums. And they have a couple of drinks. Yeah. And then... Exactly, they've lost their minds.
Ready to unleash.
But they're, well, I'm not saying that. But
I meant verbally unleash.
Oh, yeah, they just fucking.
What did you mean?
Well, I thought you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, fair play to them then as well.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, I don't want to. Sorry, I'm not labeling all single mums of that at all.
I think
I'm not
you were.
That. No.
Is this when you get cancelled?
Exactly. No. I've had two experiences of. Basically two different people. You had the sober them and you had the drunk them, and they were like completely different people. And in those two particular scenarios, they were single mums, which I don't fucking blame them at all. They're fucking up to their fucking tits in kids basically all week. So of course they're gonna let off a bit of steam, but Jesus, when they get angry then you're fucked.
Yeah.
And I didn't even do anything. It was just like, you better get over here, you prick. And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, sorry. So you're used to being that with your mates. But is it the both of the couple go out when they're getting drunk?
No.
Right, just the girls.
Well, it's just because they're my girlfriends. So we all go out for a girls' night.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, they're just like.
You're the one going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Really?
Just, 100%. They're stomping around. What's like, let's go mad. Oh my God. It's, I love them. I love them to bits.
Yeah.
But it's literally me just troubleshooting at that point. Just like trying to get them to put down the construction equipment. We're not putting that in the car. Come on. Put that down. Just like abusing young men. Like just walking. Up and grabbing
right.
people's
yeah,
dicks.
Yeah.
I mean, good on them, I guess. I don't know.
Is that legal?
Nah, actually,
that
don't. It's like, not good
if
on
the
them.
The reverse is true, Nikki. Okay, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. But somehow they get away with it because they're a mum now. Anyway.
Are they single mums or like, because I'm.
No!
But in that situation when they get absolutely smashed, do they have a cheeky kiss with
absolutely
somebody?
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously, officially.
No, absolutely, genuinely not. I don't, I mean, anyway, I hope they don't listen to this. I do love them all very much.
Yeah. They don't listen to it.
No, but these six mums in the show were out for a night.
Smash.
And I think they just hoped that I was...
Up for it.
Their seventh, basically.
Yeah.
Which is always a fun
vibe.
You
kind of are. That is definitely a bit your persona.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
A bit, I said. I wasn't tiring you off.
No, I'm. I always get reviews that say
she's like a drunk mum on a weekend.
They always say like, oh, it's just like catching up with a friend over a wine.
Oh,
which is always it. Always actually feels a bit disparaging, as though it's like just a simple thing.
Somebody said that to me about a work in progress show that I did beforehand because there was only five people there. I just kind of went for it anyway, and they said, yeah, it was lovely. It was just like hanging out with your mate in the living room, and I was like, well.
Because
that's not much good. That's not a compliment, is it?
Well, it's a funny thing because you don't... Like, not everyone can do that. Like, not everyone can walk into a room full of strangers and ingratiate themselves to the level that everyone feels like this is a mate that they've known forever.
Mm.
And whether it's the way we tell a story or the stories we're telling that are so accessible, this all sounds very self-congratulatory, but, like, I think sometimes...
We don't do it enough, though, but anyway, go on.
What, congratulate ourselves?
Yeah, because fucking who else does? Anyway,
not
go on.
True. Yeah, Ireland and Australia. Not known for our massive ability to...
But for
encourage
our,
ourselves.
Yeah,
I
said,
I just called your accent.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like that is, writing jokes is really important. But if you haven't kind of found a level of complicity with an audience or like charm, then you're fucked straight off the bat. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure I found it today. But anyway, I think it was a bit on and off. Anyway. Yeah, but you have charm through the roof on stage.
Oh, you have charm through the roof on stage.
Stop it. Get a room, you
was
two.
Was that Saki?
Yeah, yeah.
But these mums were, they were bang up for it and having a great time. And it's sometimes fun to just like surf their energy into your next joke.
Yes.
And it kind of, the worst I think is when they just give you nothing. That's far worse than a heckling crowd.
I agree. Yeah, I'd rather.
Because I blank.
People are acting the bollocks because I have something to react to.
Yeah.
Rather than nothing, then I'm like, yeah, exactly. I blank as well.
I literally, yesterday there was a woman in the front and she, I can't let it go when they're that quiet and they hate it that much.
Oh, that's right. I saw you do that in the show, yeah.
She was just sitting in the front with her arms crossed, just hating it. And I was like, what's your name? And as you know, like I'm not, I just love a crowd to just feel like they've made.
You're not supposed to be taking this seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, you've spent money, you've come out, we've all shown up, you might as well walk away feeling better about yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not the kind of comedian that comes out and goes, what do you do for a living, fuckhead? Yeah. Like, because
that's like
not
Australia.
Very kind. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm the people
what do
call
you
me
do
the,
for a living, fuckhead?
The sunniest comedian in Australia. They don't. But... yesterday she was just like hell bent on hating the night.
Oh, she
was hating everything.
What kind of an age are we talking about here?
I reckon 65 maybe. And I said, Fiona, what is it that you love doing?
Fiona, Jesus, don't be naming her second name now.
Well,
Fiona.
Fiona, if you're listening.
And what is it that you like? Is that what you said to her?
Yeah. And she said, I like crime novels. And I said, okay, would you want to go home and read one of those? Because I feel like you don't want to be here, babe. And that's okay. Like, you got to live your truth.
Yeah, but you see, that's so cutting and brutal what you said there, right? But you see, that's in your head. You said it with such a smile there that you think that you're being charming by saying that. But that's brutal.
Really?
That is brutal.
Well, she was... And then
do you want to go home? If you're suggesting to anybody, do you want to go home?
No, but it was just like, let's call this what it is. You're hating it, mate. Like, just... You know, like, I don't want to take... Anyway, long story short, it is easier. I think I much preferred six mums off their tits than Fiona, who had her arms crossed.
What did she say
time.
To that?
She said, no. And I said, well, just out of curiosity, why did you come to the show? She said, well, your poster said you were hilarious. And I was like, okay, and you haven't got that vibe yet, Fiona? And she was like, I'll let you know. And I was like, oh, Christ. I said, well, I mean, with respect, like if I could...
With respect, Fiona.
If I could be as humble as I can, like, this has got nominated for awards around the world, so this is on you, babe. If you're not into it, like, I'm sorry. And I said, who writes the novel? Like, who's your favourite writer of crime novels? She said, Michael Connelly. I'm sure you've not heard of him. And
oh,
I was like,
the bitch.
Oh, bitch, I've been in a fucking airport bookshop.
Yeah,
you
yeah, exactly.
Bitch.
That's airport shit as well, like Michael Connelly.
I know. Anyway. Yeah.
That's a good comeback. Did you say that?
I didn't. I didn't want to minimise her.
Yeah. Well, I think you already did by starting off with, do you want to go home and read
that.
A book?
Fiona. I didn't mean it. Wow.
Well, that is amazing. So you had done. So this is you're telling me this is your seventh hour. This is your seventh show that you've written.
I think it's my seventh. Yeah, I think it's my seventh.
Can you name them?
One of them. Yep. Floor plan. The other 3%. abdicating adulthood. I did a kid show.
Oh.
As a character, I do a character called Grandma.
Oh.
That was called Grandma Is Not Growing Up. It was cute. It's cute.
I'm not laughing. Yeah.
It feels like you're laughing at me.
I didn't even say anything.
Righto. Romanticide, once bitten, and one small step.
Wow.
That's what they're called.
Romanticide.
Romanticide, yeah. It was about yeah. It was about how I am romanticide. Like I seem to see romance and then just destroy it. You know, like genocide is the killing of a generation.
Oh, sorry, yeah. If I'd seen that in writing, I would have got it. Yeah.
Romanticide.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Nothing's changed. That was 2017 and nothing's changed.
So what year was your first? Do you remember your first one? What year that was?
2012.
Right. So, yeah, I had just started acting at that stage. So you're in the game a lot longer than I am.
Yeah. So I started, I graduated acting school in 2008. Right, yeah. Mm. Yeah. We've talked about this. I thought I was going to be, you know, such a theatrical, Chekhovian, absolute.
We also talked
Dame of the theatre.
Yeah, we also talked about how annoying it was that you do an audition for like a really dramatic role and your agent goes, that was hilarious. It wasn't supposed to be hilarious.
I was giving it everything.
Yeah.
Well, clearly I'm trying to be genuine.
Like,
it
was so funny.
I'm coming across as sarcastic. So I don't know. Maybe yeah. You'll...
So the thing I look back about in starting out in acting was that like... I think it's still the case a little bit. Comedy's not really respected.
Absolutely true.
I don't. And what I loved was the line of the Hollywood round table, you know, when they do with the actors. Mm-hmm. And Robert De Niro was there, like one of the greatest actors ever. And he's going, yeah, I can't do what he does, you know, to Adam Sandler.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, finally.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't do what they do.
Well, that's what they say. And that's what, I was always going for dramatic roles and wondering why I wasn't getting them and kept getting cast as comedy roles.
Mm.
And everyone was like, no, that's not everyone can do that. That's why we're casting you. And I was like, fuck off.
I know. Why don't we just accept that about ourselves earlier on?
I can cry on cue.
Yeah, don't
you want that? Isn't that acting? Isn't that gutsy?
Yeah.
That's the human condition.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But funny. And so... So you graduated 2008 from acting school. It's quick enough turnaround then to then 24 years later write your first stand up hour. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, it was shit.
Okay.
It was dog shit.
Okay,
you got to start somewhere.
But how long were you doing stand up by the time that you started that you wrote that hour?
I did my first gig in 2010. Like February 2010.
Well, fuck it, we're seeing. I did a show after 2 years of stand up. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I did my first gig, but I didn't. Then I kind of walked away, and then I went to Paris and did clown school.
Can we talk about that? Because that is something I've been very interested in, and I don't know if it's something that adds to stand up or not, or how do you explain clowning? Let's start off with that, because when people think of clowns, I think they're naturally thinking of the red nose, the circus, and you know, all the white paint and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So what is clowning? Because clowning is a, what is it? It's even spiritual, I think that guy would say it is, isn't it? No?
Yeah, I mean, so...
It's because it's not acting.
Because I graduated acting school and I really thought... My very good friend, Dr. Brown, who a lot of people know...
He's very famous, isn't he?
Well, yeah, Phil Burgers. He's...
Oh, God. I don't know about this. See, fuck me. You know all the cool people. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Stick
with me, kid. So Phil and I met in 2010 when I took a play to Adelaide, or I went with a play to Adelaide, and we became great mates, and he said you should go to this clowning school. And stand-up wasn't even on my radar. Like, I'd done a couple of gigs, but...
Can you just explain who he is to people?
So Phil Burgers does a character called Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown is... he's kind of... There was a huge clowning boom in, like, early 2010s, like 2010s.
Right.
And everyone then decided to go to Goliath. So I was a little bit ahead of the curve purely because I became friends with Phil before he went.
And what does he do as his...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Character, is it stand-up?
So it's,
or is it?
No, it's like it's all physical basically. So he went to the school that I went to called L'École Philippe Collier. So it's Philippe Collier School. Mm. And he trained with Jacques Lecoq. Well, he used to run the school Lecoq, which is a mime and movement school.
Dr. Brown did. Philip Burgers ran the
Lecoq? No. Philippe ran.
Oh, yeah. And that Lecoq school is very famous.
Yeah, so it's a super famous school that a lot of actors, particularly theatre actors, have gone to, which is, it just really refines like the physicality and the story that you're telling with your body, basically.
Right.
And so it's, yeah, mime and movement, which are very European, very kind of now outdated, I guess, modes of theatre, but still have merit to learn the skills that are involved. And so, Philippe Collier and Jacques Lecoq busted up, and then Philippe started his own school, and he really specialised in the clown stuff and Buffon, right. Which Buffon is a whole other kind of concept that's tricky to explain. Right. But
and clowning is still expressing with your body or no?
So clowning is, it's tricky because, like I said, there's so many clown characters written into classical text. So, you know, in Shakespeare, like Midsummer Night's Dream, there's the Mechanicals and Bottom, and in so many plays, there is a clowning element. And so it's, as long as there's been theatre, there's been clown. Mm. But in my mind, when I was going to clown school, it was always going to be, you know, how to perfect those clown-like characters.
Right.
But we show up day one and we're issued with a red nose. And I was like, oh, fuck. Mm. I've come to, this is not what I anticipated.
Okay.
But basically, it teaches you the beauty of the flop. Like,
Of the flop.
So failure is a gift.
Right.
It kind of strips away your ego. Like clowns, it's really hard to explain because Philippe is such a genius. He can identify where any particular person's clown lives, which is a crazy concept to try and explain without seeing it happen in a process. But everybody, you know, some people are really good at being, when they're really vulnerable, they're very funny, or when they're very childlike, they're really funny, or It's just like an essence thing. Mm. And he's really good at identifying people's kind of funny essence. And so when you, like, the basics of clowning is that a clown is always doing their very best, always striving, always trying, usually too hard and failing always every failing. Time and right. always failing.
And that's what's funny.
And that's what's funny, as long as there is the element that they never lose. It's weird. They're failing, but they're not losing.
They never lose.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a very kind of, it sounds, it's really hard to describe in an intellectual way.
Because you
way.
Don't take notes on this shit either when you do all these schools, do you? It's all, like, you find it physically, you find it kinesthetically.
Yeah. And when people talk about, what did you learn? Like, you know, would you go back to Collier? What did you learn? I would say it's a nightmare when you're there, because his whole concept, like, he wrote a book called The Tormentor, and his whole thing is basically teaching through gentle abuse.
Yeah, I've seen the videos of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's the whole foreword.
It makes people cry.
Oh my God, crying all the time. Like, the first day I showed up, it was me and this other woman from New York, and we get up and he says, okay, five people up on the stage, make me laugh. And so you're literally standing up there with nothing. You've got nothing. And he's this wizened old man with red-rimmed round glasses.
Crazy wiry
crazy
hair.
Crazy white hair. And just a scowl like you've never seen. And a drum. And when he hits the drum, you're done.
Right.
And you've paid thousands of dollars to fly across the world.
Fuck.
And you get 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And anyway, so this... I didn't have any experience with exactly how he taught or anything. And so I show up thinking, you know, this other woman who I've got on stage with, she kind of has done a bit of clowning in New York, and she puts an offer out there, and improv is like, yes, and you go with your offer. And so we just start doing this thing. And he hits the drum and goes, okay, these two women, you think, they are so sexy, so beautiful, you want to make crack, crack, boom, boom with them all day, oh my God. Or you think, I will bring in all the addict sexual from the area, I line them up, these two women, they do what they do, all of these men never touch a woman again, completely cured. Because what you have done is so horrible. He said, sit down and stop wasting my time. This was day one.
So where does it go from there?
Oh, straight to the bottom of a bottle of rosé is where we went. But you start to learn that you just can't have any ego.
Yeah.
The ego is completely stripped away, and part of the genius of what he teaches is that you have to be completely aware of how you're presenting on stage. And that is sometimes brutal to hear.
Right.
And then, yeah, like the failure. Like, so he's in that criticism, he's offering an opportunity for you to fail and then find the clown to, like, resurface from the fail. If that makes sense.
So,
like, the recovery. The
So how do you recover from that? If you've seen somebody successfully fail and their clown come out, what does that look like?
If they've failed successfully and the clown comes out?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? In a situation where, like, he's obviously giving them shit so that they're a failure, and that's the opportunity for the clown to come out, as you just said, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that's always why he's doing that or what he's doing, but it is an opportunity.
Right.
To find that.
So did you find your inner clown? Did you find your clown in
I
that
did,
time?
I did, yeah.
Right. So how did that happen?
Which is rare.
So people go to this class and don't find their inner clown.
Oh my God, almost everyone.
Oh my God.
There's literally a foreword in his book written by Sacha Baron Cohen, because Sacha Baron Cohen, who does Borat and...
He went there?
Oh yeah.
What?
He did the full course. So there's a 2-year course. But so many people have trained with him, like incredible, like Emma Thompson and... heaps others who I can't think of now.
Yeah.
But a lot of actors, like established actors, will go there to find this kind of little spice in their performances. But Sacha Baron Cohen did the whole course, and that's where he came up with a lot of his characters. But he speaks in the foreword, and I'm absolutely going to butcher this, but to paraphrase it, he says something like, you know, I've been married, I've had kids, I've had relative success. Still the proudest moment of my life is when I'd been... studying with Philippe for 6 months, and I I did a routine and he beat the drum and he looked at the rest of the class and he said, okay, Sasha was not totally shit today. Huh? And I was like, after 6 months, Sasha Baron Cohen.
That's his proudest moment.
Brutal. Yeah, it's brutal. The only day I found my clearest clown was when I was... We all just like ended up every afternoon just buying heaps of wine, going and sitting by the river and getting belted and just trying to like people from around the world. There were 40 different languages spoken in the room. He speaks like he can teach in like 8 different languages. He's incredible. But one morning I came in and I was so hungover and I did this routine and he was like, no, 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 no. And I was like, please. And he does this thing where he threatens to hit the drum. Like he's like, oh no, I think you're being shit now. I think I might need to hit this drum soon. And so like it kind of escalates your desperation to succeed, which is very funny to watch someone like, you know, just desperate. And anyway, I just kind of started appealing to the rest of the class and going, please laugh, guys. I'm so hungover. I just really need to like find some kind of joy and success. And he was like, okay, Nikki, we found something here today, huh? And he used to always pick on me when anyone else had done something a bit shit.
He'd blame it on you.
No, he'd always go, okay, this was absolute, I would find your home, your family, and I would plant a bomb inside your house. I would explode your mother and father first in case they made another person. There could be anything like you because you are so disgusting and terrible. Like, this is just
wow.
Every day. These three girls came from Greece for their summer holidays and they were like, oh, we just thought it would be fun to do clown school. And I was like, guys, go on now. But they, anyway, just sorry to finish this point. I realized you said let's do 20 minutes and now it's 32. Right. But,
no, we can go on.
There was, oh God, what was it?
How he used to compare everyone else's shitness to you.
Oh, yeah. So he would go, I would always be there with like this, like, it's wild that you think I'm so sarky because I'm genuinely like so supportive of people and genuinely like giving compliments a lot. And I was sitting there and he's like, okay, is this sunny Australian here again? Oh, boy, everybody is so beautiful. Well done, everyone. You're so good. And then if someone did something really bad and they failed so bad, he would be like, everybody thinks you are terrible, terrible. And they would go, Australia? And then I would have to be like, oh no, I thought they were okay. And then sometimes I just wouldn't say anything. He goes, even Australia thinks you are fucking terrible. So he'd use me as the cage.
That's amazing. Yeah. But every day, people just have to get up and try to perform. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't have material. You don't have.
There's no games. There's no warm ups. There's no.
Oh, we do. No, you do le jeu at the beginning of the day, which is the game.
Right.
And so you play a bunch of games, and I think half the theory is you get so physically exhausted playing a lot of the games that you've just got nothing left. Right. So it kind of strips a lot away. Right. But he, you go up with nothing, and like I said, very few people in the audience speak the same language as you. So it is, you're forced to kind of find the funny in your body and your physicality. And
a friend of mine did a clowning course recently in Dublin, and he was saying it like it kind of throws all your all the conceptions you had about performance beforehand, throws it out the window. But it's very much about completely connecting with an audience. It was what
it's really quiet.
No, it's just different tones. It's all right. We're just okay. Don't worry, guys. We're looking at it sounds great.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. No, we're just looking at the reader on the screen here, and it looks like it's reading. No, but it's fine. Okay, so yeah, he was saying it was about connecting with the audience and being your honest self for the audience, and that was the funniest thing.
Yeah, and it's really, it is important like to always imbue the audience with, you know, he talks about beauty a lot. Like you need to show up and be beautiful for an audience. You need to show your inner beauty to an audience and find the beauty in the audience as well.
Mm.
And
find the beauty in the audience as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like this beautiful dance. That's what I was saying to Fiona last night.
Right.
When she was being such a miserable cow.
You're like, I got to find the beauty here.
I was like, Fiona, do you remember like in the last 2.5 years when desperate comedians were having to do Zoom gigs?
Mm.
You don't understand what it was like to close your laptop and go back to this miserable existence because there was nothing... Because there was nothing satisfying about those gigs for us, because comedy doesn't exist in a comedian, in our words, in our heads. Mm. It exists in this crackling space between us and an audience.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not going to force you to laugh if you're not into it and you don't want to laugh, but there is a contract here where, like...
You said all this?
Yeah.
Right.
I said there's no aliveness.
She's like, you've never heard of Michael Conley.
She was like, you know, you do better reading a book.
Did she say that?
No, she didn't. No. She should have. She would have.
But what did she respond
then
to your speech? That sounds like fucking a speech at the end of a movie, like fucking Charlie Chaplin did the fucking. Yeah. Do you remember what was that movie that he did, The Great Dictator?
Charlie Chaplin. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Charlie Chaplin.
I was thinking you meant, remember, for some reason, Robin Williams was in my head. And I was like, it's Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or that, Robin Williams, yeah.
Yeah. But it did. Oh no! I think I just had too much time.
Get on with the fucking show, will
you? Yeah, pretty much. She didn't have a lot of compassion. I think we had a lot of time in Australia to think about this stuff because we were locked down for a real long time.
Mm. So did clowning bring something to your stand up?
It's funny because
it sounds like it's before you started stand up seriously.
Probably, yeah. I feel like there's more. Like it brought more to it in the after cook. Like I learnt more in the after cook. Once I'd done, because I was only there for 6 weeks doing summer school.
6 weeks? Is fucking hell.
Yeah, but it's intensive. So it's like 8 hours, 9, 10 hours a day. I can't remember.
Jesus.
But you learn more in the aftercook in like observing other people and being able to
So when you watch my show, for example, you're like, his inner clown is not, he's not looking, he's not clicking the beauty.
Did you want me to give you the notes on the
podcast? Go on, yeah.
No. As if I did.
You didn't.
You did ask me to take notes.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
I do have.
We're only there for 2 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
25 minutes.
Are we there that long?
Yeah. I've got 2 pages worth.
You're joking me.
No.
You do not have 2 pages of notes. Do you?
That's one a lie. Page.
You've got.
But most of it's
notes.
Most of it's like, oh my god, you're so good. This is great.
You're
keep going.
Full of shit.
I'm very supportive.
Right. Okay.
You did change your lighting after I told you to do that.
Yeah, but you were right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you go from clowning, you start doing the stand-up, and like, but then I suppose, because they are different crafts, aren't they?
And I mean, like, one can sort of inform the other, but I think they've definitely, you know, it helped my stand-up to do clowning, and it helped clowning to kind of do stand-up. So
yeah, but like, I for example, I wouldn't know the difference between the stand-up and the clowning to watch. You know, to pick up on the difference between clowning and stand-up and what you're doing, for example. So I wouldn't know. Because what like, people, you go and you study clowning, but then what do you do with the clowning? You just be a clown? Or?
Yeah, well, there are clowns out. It's pretty niche.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people doing clowning shows and kind of a sketch. You know, there's the...
Right.
It helps actors. It helps... It's kind of one of those things where you know, you go to acting school and you do voice classes, but you don't, not everyone's going to be a voiceover actor.
Yeah,
but,
I understand what you're saying.
You know, it informs.
The thing that just came to my head there is John Cleese's inner clown, like Basil Fawlty, the way that, you've watched Fawlty Towers?
Yeah.
The way that, you know, he's constantly up against his failure and he's constantly then like, right,
yeah, so his clown would be uptight.
Uptight.
He's very funny when he's uptight.
Yeah, it's absolutely... No, that's absolutely no problem whatsoever. Yeah, bang, yeah. Smashes his head off the counter.
Yeah.
And I'll keep doing that for him. He starts ripping off his shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine, we'll leave it there. But that's interesting. So, yeah, that's an example of what could be his inner clown, but he obviously uses it amongst all his different tools, which are acting and, all the other performance tools and all that kind of stuff.
But you don't necessarily ever want to see John Cleese play, I don't know, like, for example, who's, like, someone who's really, I'm trying to think of someone who's, like, very childlike, like they're very funny because they're really childlike. An actor.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah. Yeah, like Billy Madison. Yeah, exactly.
That kind of stuff. Yeah,
Billy
yeah.
Madison. So he's really funny when he's childlike.
Yeah, yeah.
You never want to see.
Oh, I'm tired. And he loses his temper at the same time while being a child.
So he's an absolute shit. Like he's a 3-year-old toddler having a tantrum, but he's very funny.
Yeah.
So that's his clown. Whereas you never want to see John Cleese playing a kid having a tantrum.
No, exactly.
You know? It's that he's able to kind of distill the essence of what it is that's funny in your clown.
Yeah. So, and then clown is not necessary because those two examples are angry. So what's other examples of, is there a happy clown?
Well,
maybe not if they're failing all the time.
Yeah, they're angry in that they like that's their failure. Mm. They're losing their temper and so they're failing. Well, I would probably be like, this sounds so self-indulgent, but my optimism, like I think if you saw the show, and
definitely
this, again, like hopefully doesn't sound like I'm absolutely wanking myself off on your podcast. But I've got like this constant optimism where I'm like, I'm doing this thing and I'm like, I'm trying to make life better for myself and everyone else. And everything just keeps going wrong. So like I'm not necessarily getting angry, but I'm failing.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite my best intentions.
And you're on the verge of tears sometimes, but you're like, let's keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I guess vulnerability
there's
is
no,
my
there's no anger there. Yeah, there's, the,
yeah, there's the, no
the,
anger.
The
there's...
eternal optimism. That yeah. Keeps, and shit keeps...
And that's what makes me an idiot. You know what I mean? Like that's why you're a clown, because you keep
you're
thinking
smiling,
it's going to work.
And the mud gets flicked into your face from the car. Yeah.
Exactly. So my clown, because he gives you a persona.
Is optimism.
So like everyone gets... like an actual character. Like there was a guy who was a cricket player and there was a girl who was Minnie Mouse, and he just chooses different characters. And I was a police officer, specifically from Adelaide, which is pretty insulting. But he...
Sorry, people from Adelaide. But
but hi, guys in Adelaide. I'll be there with my show next year, so please come along, Adelaide Fringe. So like that kind of idea that I was... trying to do the best for the community and to like maintain peace and justice and look after everyone, like that real sort of maternal vibe.
Yeah.
And I keep getting...
Someone pulls on your trousers or whatever.
Or like I fumble with my... I try to get my gun out and I shoot myself in the foot, but I'm still smiling because I'm like, it's okay, it's all
fine,
going well.
Fine, yeah. Life's great.
So that's
brilliant.
My clown.
Okay, well, I've learned something about clowning there now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's, like we said, a tricky concept to intellectualize and explain. But when you see it happening, you go, oh, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
And it's just a feeling more than a... And it is a relief to not have to use words.
Yes. Yeah.
Such a relief.
I'll be interested to watch that without words, but... I mean, we've gone on now. We've got to go see other shows
this evening. We simply must.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Nikki Britton is like, I mean, it would be great if you were going to go to Ireland at some point, but I don't know if you will get to see her. But if you're in Australia, catch her out. Check out, what is your Instagram handle is?
At the Nikki Britton.
Anyway, all those links will be put in the podcast. I'm sure you have a website and all that because you're more professional than I am.
No, I don't have a website. No. I've still got my own name on Facebook.
Good morning.
You know when people... Yeah, who cares, you know? It's still me. I've got a podcast which I'm obviously going to bully you into doing now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. What's your podcast?
It's called Mates Talking About Stuff.
Yeah,
which literally what it says on the box.
Literally what it says on the box.
Every other comedy podcast.
Yeah, no, I'd love to do it. And I'd love to, I'm hoping to go to Australia soon. Who knows? But I'd love to get down there and gig with all the Aussies. I have to say, I've been very impressed with all the Australian comedians over here. Not that I was unimpressed beforehand. It was just like every Australian comedian that I've seen has been great here. And it's been brilliant. I haven't got to watch a lot of them. I suppose most people might just know Jim Jefferies, maybe. Do you know what I mean? If you don't, you know...
know
a lot about it. But I saw... who does it? Randy Fellface is just fucking ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Is Reese Nicholson Australian?
Absolutely.
I haven't got to see that yet, but he's supposed to be amazing. And there's the guy who
Reese and I did our first gig together.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And then there's a guy called Daniel Muggle something. Muggleton?
Daniel Muggleton, yeah. I did his gig today.
Did you? Oh, he has a gig here?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. So I gigged with him at Assembly at the Best of the Fest there. He's brilliant as well. So, like, loads of, like, I'm just not knowledgeable on it because that's why I want to go to Australia, go check it all out, you know?
Yeah. I think there is, and I think maybe you even mentioned it the other night, that there is a perception that Australians maybe are lazy or laid back or laconic enough. that we don't
or too happy because it's too sunny down there. Maybe, that you think they wouldn't be. They wouldn't be. Happy. You wouldn't be miserable enough to maybe. Be good for comics.
but
Jim Jeffries is fucking miserable, isn't he?
Yeah, he's miserable. That's why I had to move.
Yeah.
But I think, like, again, certainly bias and certainly don't want to.
Sorry about the crackles, everybody. It's Nikki.
No, surely you edit those out.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah.
It probably is bias, but I really do think, like, we're punching above our weight in Australia in terms of the quality of comedy that we're putting out.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Because what's the population? It's 35 million or something like that?
28 million now, I think. 27 million maybe. But we, like, it's just a really healthy industry down there because we've got Melbourne Comedy Festival, which is
pretty big.
It's the second biggest comedy festival behind Montreal. But right. Montreal's all lineups, like 5-minute spots and stuff. So
it's gone to the shit as well, apparently, so I hear. Anyway. I hope to get a spot there.
Please, if there wasn't Nikki Britton that said that it was shit, please, Montreal, if you're listening. But in terms of, like, hour-long shows
right.
that comedians can put on, solo shows,
yeah.
Melbourne is the biggest exclusively comedy festival in the world.
Edinburgh is not a comedy festival.
Yeah, because it's not festival. Exclusively a comedy festival. But we, so we kind of, like, are fairly rigorous in putting out a new hour of stand-up every year or every second year. And I think that just kind of makes
you better.
Yeah, it makes us better.
How long
better.
Does it take you to write and an hour,
we work fucking hard.
Yeah.
Australians work really fucking hard at it. Mm. Because we are kind of, you know, the little cousin, the little colonial. Well, in the UK, I think a lot of people think, oh, well, they're just these little, they're out there in the colonies.
Yeah, but
so we kind of have to work doubly as hard to get half the respect.
That's just English people.
Yeah, kind of, I feel like you guys probably feel the same way.
Irish people? Not about comedy.
Mm. Oh, you guys. You got the crack, like.
Yeah.
It's just there. It's just natural.
No, but see, but like, we get looked down on by
I'm
English.
I'm so sorry to everyone. Yeah. Who I just offended with that accent.
Good luck getting gigs in Ireland. No, I mean, comedically, Irish comedians, I don't look down on them, but there's definitely not respect for them.
In Ireland?
No, not in Ireland. I mean the UK.
Right, got it.
Like, for example, Jason is a fucking killer and he does wild shit all the time and he fills massive rooms and everyone's like, yeah, but he's just fucking around. It's like,
yeah,
but he's making 1,000 people laugh every night.
Well, that's kind of what I meant in the beginning of, like, when people go, oh, it's just catching up with you. It felt like catching up with your friend over a wine. And you're like, no, but that's
fucking really hard to do.
That's the skill. Yeah, that's why everyone in the room was laughing.
Yeah. Like, Tommy Tiernan is like, I mean, he's definitely respected within the Irish industry, but he is one of the best in the world. Like, when Bill Burr goes, no, this dude is one of the best.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, he doesn't get the respect he deserves internationally, but then also he doesn't want, he's done with the kind of, you know, they get to an age where they don't give a fuck what people think of them in the US anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You kind of get past that. So no, I'm just trying to defend Irish comics as in, like, yeah, not everyone goes, oh, Irish comics are amazing, you know. In Edinburgh we do all right because the Scottish do respect us in that level. So when it's literally a flyering line where you go Irish comedy and they go, oh yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you say Irish comedy to English people, quite often they're like, I'm not even joking yet, and I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
I give people the fingers today.
Did you?
Yeah. And then the Scottish album saw me doing it behind the back. It's like, oh, you cheeky bugger. It's just anyway.
They would have been on your side.
Yeah. But anyway, it's only certain, not all English, by the way. Scouser's amazing. Geordie's amazing, you know. Cockney's amazing as well. But it's the middle class English
it's
vibe.
It's so funny. Like, this is what blows our minds, I think, as Australians, is this class system
yeah,
stuff.
But we don't have that in Ireland either.
Yeah, but we, I mean, of course there's people who,
it's people with money and people who don't have money.
There's I'm certainly not saying Australia's without its faults, but in terms of the class system, it is bonkers over here in the UK to see, oh, well, they're, you know,
but they talk about walking, it within themselves. Working
but that's what I mean.
That's,
and then they
mental,
own it
yeah.
Or like, that's a working class city and then they've gentrified now and
okay. Edinburgh people talk, I was talking to people from Edinburgh last night and they talk about Glaswegians because, like, yeah, that they're funny because they, in the way that they would normally speak, they would use banter quite a bit. Do you know what they would use? But like,
what?
It's exactly. It's just like, yeah, they're just talking. They're just having the crack.
Yeah,
it's
not a big.
Yeah. It's kind of just the way they seem to speak.
It's so. It just blows my mind.
They seem to communicate with banter.
And I'm like, maybe that is what makes me a goofily optimistic, a friendly Australian. Because I'm like, hey guys, we're all here together.
Just
we're all on the same level.
That's what can be depressing, I think, about Edinburgh in general. Is it's like, you like, we come with that vibe, and that's just like, no, you're not cool.
And the Brits are like, absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you realise?
There's a certain area over here that is just like, it's the cool kids within the comedy industry here. And it's just like, yeah, I'm not in it. But I couldn't be arsed either.
No.
But they're not funny. Anyway, let's
But we love you all very much. It's a beautiful community. Peace and love. Thank you. Peace and love, everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Nikki Britton, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'll put all the links to all her stuff in the description of this podcast. And anything
else? Is this going to be a double episode?
Yeah, I might split it up. We learned about clowning. That was a great episode.
Yeah, it feels very inside baseball. Like, are your listeners very much into comedy?
I don't,
they're going to turn off.
No, I don't analyze comedy a lot on this podcast because I think that's very boring.
But what do you usually talk about?
Well, it's been streaming. Do I have to tell them that right now? I will tell them about off the podcast. I have the odd interview. This was an interview, okay? You've been Nikki Britton.
Okay, great.
And you're the star of Australia. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoy, guys. Peace and love. And that's where the jingle comes.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.